Welcome back to Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. As Lake Effect's material culture contributor, Jonifer Fields has learned that there's often a duality to the objects that she studies, and that the larger the object is, the more striking that duality can be. For example, depending on what side you're on, the B-17 airplane can be an object of beauty and a symbol of strength, or a hideous killing machine. But for Dan Bolin, it represents childhood memories of building model airplanes and dreams of flying. For the last 20 years, the Memphis, Tennessee native has lived that dream as the pilot of a B-17, one of the most famous airplanes used during World War II. He brought his plane, called the Aluminum Overcast, to a recent event in Madison. He told Fields there exactly what makes the B-17 so special.
Well, it was coined the term the Flying Fortress by a newspaper reporter. When he saw the thing bristling with 1350 caliber machine guns, he said, "My God, it looks like a flying fortress." And so that's where it got its nickname. They built 12,731 flying fortresses, and over 5,000 were lost to combat. The other were lost to accidents. They ran together in bad weather in England. And, you know, they were kids. They were young kids. The average age of the pilots was about 22 to 23 years old. The group commander, the bird colonel in charge of the whole flying group, would be 27 on average. And the gunners, the enlisted men in the back of the B-17, were mostly teenagers. They were 17, 18, 19 years old. But it represents everything that's good about America because, you know, everybody came together for the war effort. It was an all-out 100% effort. And, you know, most of these airplanes were built by women because the men were off at war, and the women had to man the factories, so to speak. And only a few men, the ones that were too old to go fight, and engineers and people like that, were in the factories. 90% of the workers were women. So this airplane was built by a woman.
You were born in a time period right at the end of the war. Were you one of those kids that had your model B-17s? Did you ever think?
Did
you ever think at that time period that that was something that would carry you out and you'd be sitting here in 2013 talking to somebody in the back of a B-17?
No, I tell you what, growing up, I made models of the B-17, the P-51, and the Corsair, and, you know, that was my thing, making model airplanes. But I didn't have any idea I was going to be a pilot. I wanted to be like you. I wanted to be a journalist. Then the Vietnam War came around, and my brother was in the Air National Guard, and he's quite a bit older than me. And he said, you know, if you graduate school, you're going to be an Army guy. You're going on the ground, and you get drafted. So he said, why don't you join the Guard with me? And I did. And he said, well, if you're going to be in the military, you might as well be a pilot. So he gave me the idea, and I applied, and guess what? Here I am.
So as you sit here now talking to me about this, and you're actually touching the plane, you're sitting in the seat, and you're during the whole interview, you've always touched some part of the plane.
Well, I touch it, and it touches me, you know, every day.
I can see it in your eyes when I'm talking to you about this plane.
Good. Good. That's the effect that I want. You know, I get to meet the veterans that flew them in combat, and that's a real payoff. When I meet those guys and I know their history, and like I see a guy that's got the 100th bomb group on there, and I say, hey, brother, how you doing? You're one of the bloody 100th? And I say, I met Rosie. And they said, really? Well, Rosie is the only guy that returned one day. They lost every airplane in the group except one. And Rosengarten was the aircraft commander. And I got to meet him one time, and I knew who he was. And those guys just opened up and talked to me like it was yesterday. So, to me, it's real emotional. You know, I've been to every state in the Union in the lower 48, except for Montana. I don't know why, but I've been in every state. I've flown over the Grand Canyon. I've flown over Manhattan. I've flown over the Golden Gate Bridge 2 months ago. I've flown over 3 seacoasts. Been in every state, you know. Who gets to do that? You know, I've been to Pocatello, Idaho. I've been in New York City. You know, I've been to every place. And I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
What is it that ties you to this plane so strong that you're willing to do that? If you're in your golden years and you have the ability to kick back and lay back, what is it that brings you out as a volunteer to do this?
Well, I guess it's a unique opportunity to meet those guys that flew them in combat. And it's my hobby. It has been since I was 13 or 14 years old to study these things. I've got thousands of books at home I've collected. I've got autographs from Jimmy Doolittle, from famous aviators to Bob Hoover, from famous aces like Chuck Yeager and Bud Anderson. And you know, I can go on and on. And I met so many people because of this airplane. And, you know, I've been invited to governor's houses, to dinners, to senators. I interviewed Senator George McGovern at Oshkosh, you know, because of this airplane. Anyway, because of this airplane, I've been everywhere. And I just love it.
This is a hard one. Do you think about the day when you have to say goodbye to this plane? And how do you think you would still maintain a relationship with it?
Well, I hope that doesn't happen anytime soon. See, I'm hoping to be shot in the back by a jealous husband when I'm 91 years old. That's my goal. That's my goal. I'm sorry.
I don't even know. How do you follow that question up? Just how do you... Do you want to be shot in the back by a jealous husband while in the B-17?
That would be the ultimate. If I could do that at the controls of a B-17 when I'm 91 years old, to have some dude come out there and shoot me in the back, that's the way to go.
Jennifer Fields studies material culture at UW-Madison, and she's the curator of It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation. It's a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education into the decorative arts. Fields introduced us to Memphis pilot Dan Bolin, who flies a B-17 called the Aluminum Overcast for Experimental Aircraft Association. They spoke at the EAA's Heavy Bombers Over Madison event last month. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You can hear our weekday version of Lake Effect at 10 in the morning. It's all on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now for Weekend All Things Considered. It's coming right up.